news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
To be honest with you, I wasn't very familiar for about 6 months there during unemployment, but I'm back. It is 8:06 at FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, what a morning, huh? Another one, and in fact, you were here last night, too, so you and Sean held it down during the storm. Mm-hmm. And now the aftermath, we're going to start figuring this out. I'm starting to see some pictures on social media and on TV as well of what happened in some areas.
Yeah, and when the biggest issue for most of Mobile County last night and northern Mobile County got hit hard, I'm seeing John Sharp with AL.com now traveling into Citronelle. And he posted not too long ago, let's see here if I can find his report. He said Route 45 is blocked right now approaching Citronelle. So trees down in the road ways up there, and wind the major issue in most of Mobile County and most of Alabama. But on Dolphin Island, storm surge created a major issue last night. We talked with Dolphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier as we began our storm coverage, and proud to have him on again this morning to let us know what Dolphin Island's looking like.
Jeff, have you ever thought about being a mayor at a serene mountain village somewhere in Pennsylvania, Colorado? Yeah.
I was really kind of thinking maybe Tahoe. They probably have a mayor, right?
Yeah, they've got a mayor. They've got a mayor, and he doesn't deal with stuff like you do time and time again.
I don't know if I can handle snow removal.
So what are you dealing with this morning?
We're dealing with liquid snow. We had extreme saltwater flooding last night. Came in around 9:30. Very rapid flooding come in. Probably lasted about an hour and a half. We've got a lot of vehicles that were lost, a lot of homes that took water inside of them, even in the village area. You know, we talk a lot about the West End when we have these things, but the village area of the island, I'm saying from, say, Circle K down to Salt Creek, which is an area generally where I live. I mean, we had water in our neighborhood of over knee-deep of salt water. And so extreme amount of flooding on the island. And beyond that, of course, the island still, probably three-fourths of the island is without electricity as we speak. We just a little while ago tried to go to the West End, and that was a short trip because from St. Stephen's west, we couldn't get any further. Tremendous amounts of sand in the road, probably 3 to 4 feet deep. Power poles down, lines down. So just a lot of a big mess, basically.
And heartbreaking, Mayor, that you guys have spent so much time and effort since Hurricane Sally to rebuild, and then Zeta comes through and did what it did last night. We're looking, I imagine, at a lot more recovery coming after this.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a long cleanup process again. We had just about finished the Sally cleanup. I would say we were probably 80% done, and now we're, you know, the damage. We got a little different damage this time. Sally, we had more tree and structural damage. This is more flooding, and sand, that type of a damage. And so it's just a little different spin. But yeah, the island from one end to the other has problems today.
Can you get onto the island right now? And even if you can, should anyone be coming down to Dolphin Island right now?
Well, the causeway is open, and I give a big kudos and shout out to our friends at Aldot. They did another fantastic job. I was actually on the phone with them at 5:00 this morning, and they had already cleared the causeway, so access is open, which is good. I don't know that I would encourage folks at this point. Of course, some of our businesses will be open, and they need customers. So we've got most of the roads are safe to travel. We've cleared a lot of the debris out of the roads that the floodwaters kind of pushed into the lane. So, you know, it's safe to travel here and be here, except for the West End. That's going to be shut off for some time.
Did any part of the storm surprise you in any way, Mr. Mayor?
Well, you know, the amount of flooding, I guess, although I'm always suspect, this storm, I was concerned about this one and Sally, and I guess for good reasons. But anytime you have a storm that's coming in just west of our area, that's kind of a worst-case scenario. And even though, you know, we hear folks say, well, it's New Orleans. Well, you know, New Orleans is not that far from Dolphin Island as the crow flies. And so I was concerned from that. I was mainly concerned about saltwater flooding. But I didn't really quite think it would be to the extent that it did. But every storm's different. Every storm has its own personality, and I guess I need to stop being surprised at this point.
Mayor Jeff Collier of Dauphin Island.
Yeah, and Mayor, we talked with Charlie Gray down on the island late last night, right around 11:15, 11:30, and he said the water rose so rapidly, that surge came in so quickly. I think he said it rose about 4 feet as fast as he's seen it. You've seen a number of storms down there on the island, and you compared it to a past storm in a way earlier.
Yeah, the one I attribute it to or compare it to is Nate. I think Nate was in 2017, I believe it was. And the only reason I say that is because, you know, again, in my neighborhood, we had a similar saltwater flooding event. In fact, this storm was a little bit more than that. I would say, you know, this one pushed almost 3 feet of water in our neighborhood, and where Nate pushed a little bit less than that. So, yeah, it came in very rapidly, hung around for about 45 minutes, and then it went out probably twice as fast. You know, it's like pulling a plug out of the bathtub, and it just took it out of there. And of course, when it came in and went out, it's carrying tremendous amounts of debris. I mean, a lot of the debris that was piled up along the roads has now been moved around, and you know, you've got all that stuff going on, wood and debris, and my goodness, it's just a mess everywhere.
It's like this storm had different personalities in the different areas that it hit. It affected differently. New Orleans itself was, the Weather Channel was there live. Jeff, I don't know if you saw that, but it basically they were live on Canal Street as the hurricane passed through, and that gave me the impression, well, this is going to be a little wind. It's now going to calm down, and as it hits land, it's going to degenerate, and that's not what happened, because evidently our friends to the north of us, it is catastrophic up there.
Yeah, and I was, and you asked about being surprised, I was also a bit surprised in the amount of wind and the duration of wind that we got. I mean, we were still getting 40, 50 mile an hour winds at midnight. I mean, it was like it was, even though the storm was up in North Washington County or further at that point, we were still getting very strong winds off the Gulf, and that kind of caught me, because I had seen just before that areas like Gulfport, Biloxi had already dropped down to 25, 30 miles an hour, and we're still hanging in there at probably 50. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? So, yeah, you just never know. And this one was strange. It'll be one that we'll remember. And, you know, just wish it never would have happened.
So here we go again, Mayor. Everyone on Dauphin Island getting ready to rebuild after this storm. What would you like to tell the residents? I know you guys make supplies available after storms like this. What do they need to know right now as it stands?
Well, I think that first of all, if they need any kind of assistance, they need to reach out to us here either at Town Hall or the police department. Otherwise, everybody just does their normal thing. They start rolling up their sleeves and they're getting to work. And I know I've seen a lot of folks that are having to pull wet items out of their house, out of their storage rooms. I mean, that's what I see happening a lot here already. But and of course we're coordinating with Alabama Power to try to get them here. I know they've got a lot to deal with throughout the whole region. But I think, you know, our citizens, unfortunately, we've been down these roads before and they know the routine, and so most everybody just gets busy doing what they have to do. But we're here to assist them if we can.
Jeff, is the fact that the damage was so widespread well into the inland areas of Mississippi, but along with Alabama in particular, does that hamstring help on the way in any way? Less bodies to go around to do some of the hard work?
Yeah, I do feel that way. In fact, I've been in contact with the power company, well, all the way into the night and early this morning. And that's exactly what they're dealing with. Is, you know, they've got so much of the area that is affected now, and resources are in Louisiana still and other places. So that is definitely going to be another problem. It's going to slow down the recovery process just because of this so much damage going on here at one time. So yeah, that is going to be an issue.
Mayor, thank you so much for your time this morning, and I want to remind everyone how active you are on social media, just letting everybody know what's going on in your town. How can they find you right now to get that information?
Well, I do a lot on my Facebook page. That's where I primarily do it. So they can just check out my Jeff Kyer's Facebook page, but then that quickly gets picked up and put on the town's website as well as its own Facebook page. So anything to do with townofdauphinisland.org, or you can look at me directly on Facebook, and we'll be putting items out as quickly as we can as things occur, okay?
Okay. Best of luck with the cleanup, Mr. Mayor, and we'll talk again soon, maybe tomorrow, to see how you're doing.
All right, guys.
You got it. Jeff Collier, the mayor of Dauphin Island.
Yeah, and love talking to Mayor Collier. Unfortunately, we've had to talk to him under some strange circumstances too often this year.
Isn't that the truth? FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig at 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. What Dr. Bill had to say about this storm and how it just kind of got stronger on land somehow.
Yeah, and before we run to the break, quick update. Wreck at the Cannon. Four cars involved. According to this texter, they did not stop at the intersection where the light was out. So be careful. Wreck at the Cannon. Four cars.
Two Murphy cars and two McGill cars?
I think so.
FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton at 8:21. And just calling a spade, I think even Dr. Bill was a little surprised by exactly what transpired once that storm went over the city of New Orleans and kept on rolling through. Just, it, like you said, it kind of reformed. We're not the meteorologists here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're
I don't even use the correct words.
Right. But it almost felt like it tightened up and got stronger as it crossed over Choctaw County, and a lot of the winds on the south end of it and the east end of it shredded Citronelle and areas of Clark and Washington County, and we just did not really see that coming.
Yeah, I believe the phrase that some meteorologists were using last night is that Zeta was becoming more organized over land, and that's not normally what you see.
No.
I mean, we've all seen storms before. Normally it makes landfall and then begins to fall apart after that, but this was still a Category 1. It came to shore as a Category 2 in Louisiana. It was still a Category 1 storm by the time it was causing damage in Grove Hill and Clark County. And Clark County right now, I'm not sure if they've gotten power back as of just a couple hours ago, but the report earlier was that Clark County was 100% without power. Now, talking about Citronelle, the police chief there in Citronelle, Tyler Norris, said that their city is a, quote, war zone. After Zeta came through last night, he said they were working rescues and helping injured residents. I did see one report, a person out of Saraland was taken to the emergency room last night. That was the only report I had seen so far from there. But back to Citronelle, the mayor said, Citronelle is destroyed. Stay home and off the roads, please. We have people hurt that we are trying to help, and we do not need anyone else hurt.
That was in the middle of the night last night.
Yeah.
So that was when you really couldn't even see. Mm-hmm. This morning, at least, we're starting to get our bearings, and people can begin to post the pictures on social media.
Exactly right. And he said trees, power lines down all over town. And actually, last night, they had to ask Alabama Power to kill their power grid so that first responders would be safe as they ventured out to assist. Stringer said, please stay off the roadways. If you have a generator, make sure that it's in a well-ventilated area and that you do not feed power back into the grid. So we'd love to hear from you this morning.
Yes.
Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. 343-0106. Let us know what you're seeing as you venture out and about from your home this morning. Did have a question on the text line, and we're down traffic this morning, if you haven't noticed. Someone asking, does anyone know if University is safe from Highway 90 to South Alabama? And I do not have an answer right now. Maybe some of you are traveling those roads right now. If you could respond to us, Highway 90 to USA on University, what's that looking like? And then tell us about what else you're seeing out there. I know traveling this morning and last night, a couple traffic lights at Cottage Hill and the West I-65 service road were hanging very, very low to the ground. And still working, still see red, yellow, and green light, but they were hanging way down to the point where car, if you're in a car, you could probably scoot under that. But any trucks, anything that's lifted off the ground, dangerous situation, you could run right into one of these traffic lights. And got to be safe out there, because I have a feeling those aren't the only two traffic lights that are hanging low this morning.
No, you didn't go by the only damage of the storm.
No, I don't believe it.
Here's more of what Dr. Bill had to say earlier.
Yeah, between Sally and Zeta, we have some very unusual Category 2 storms. This one, of course, coming in at an angle that is coming into southeast Louisiana and heading northeast and on into southeast Mississippi and then across well north of Mobile. And very unusual to see a storm maintain its hurricane intensity for such a long area, a long stretch across land and on into southwest Alabama. And then finally it became a tropical storm. And this morning it's up around North Georgia and about to move into the Appalachians of Western North Carolina.
and is still producing strong gusty winds and quite a bit of damage up in that area, particularly to trees. For our area, things are going to improve today, and cleanup operations begin again. And we're going to see gradual clearing today. Temperatures will be in the low to mid-70s for this afternoon. And then cooler air really moves in tonight, although that front has moved through. We won't feel the effects of it really until tonight. And we're going to cool into the upper 40s, about 48 degrees for tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow, only 68 for the high. Should be sunny and pleasant and a nice cool day. And then as we look ahead to the weekend, Saturday, sunny and low 70s, and then mostly sunny, mid-70s on Sunday. And then another cold front comes in. On Monday, only 62 for the high temperature. And we'll be looking at lows here in Mobile around 40 degrees for Monday night. So we've got some cool weather that's going to stay with us for at least a week, and we will have a good chance to dry out after the storm.
Dr. Bill, there's been two fatalities, I think nearly 2 million without power across the southeast, 280,000 right now in Alabama. And if you look at power outage maps, you can see pretty much the exact path that this storm has cut through Alabama. Last night, you know, we were expecting, or at least I, from listening to you and looking around on the internet, I expected this storm to start falling apart over land, but it seemed like it just kept, I don't know, is reforming the right word? It got really tight, the center of it, as it crossed over Alabama.
Yeah, it held together and was really amazing, and it surprised the folks at the National Hurricane Center to see the storm maintain that strength for that distance over land. But we've got quite a bit of damage up in northern Mobile County and across Washington and Clark counties, Choctaw, and that up in that area is where the storm actually came into Alabama. It was at Choctaw County. So northern Mobile County and Clark, and as I mentioned, also Washington counties, they were pretty close to the center of the storm, and they got some very strong winds up there during the evening hours. So
there's Dr. Bill from earlier today. So last night, the way it went down was I was texting with Sean. It was about 6:30, and it was agreed to that you would come in. I would I go to bed very early because I take my job, listen to me, I take my job very seriously.
Yes.
So I go to bed early. And I was able to go to sleep with this storm.
Yeah.
And I really was not expecting that what was going on was really going on. I kind of slept right through it. And then when I woke up this morning, I was really shocked by what I saw.
Yeah, and my house, located almost to Tillman's Corner, but we're on 90, kind of over there by Mobile Lumber. And we lost power at my house at about 8 o'clock last night. I was already here at the studio, and power back on there at around, I don't know, 11:15, and just some small debris in our area, but just a quick sweaty baby update.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we were without power for a little bit of a time.
That
so
baby was sweaty.
No AC. She was very sweaty last night. Thankfully.
Let me find the song.
Thankfully, power was back on before long, but not nearly as many people as fortunate as we were last night, and power outages across the state. We talked with Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC earlier, who gave us an update from their numbers, but just looking as a whole across Alabama, there are currently over 415,000 without power in Alabama. And if you look at the map, you can clearly see the path that the storm cut through the state.
It's obvious. It's just straight to the northeast.
Yeah, Mobile County currently with 98,000 without power. Baldwin County with just about 30,000 without power. They only track 588 in Washington County on the site that I use, but of those 588, about 60% without power. Earlier we heard that Clark County is 100% yep. without power.
And that no road was...
Passable. They said that trees... And there's a lot of roads in Clark County, so
of course.
Not sure how accurate that statement is, but at least some of the main thoroughfares there, tough to pass right now. And, I mean, you look across the state, Wilcox County, Dallas County, Monroe, power out everywhere, trees down everywhere, power lines.
A long way from the coastline.
It was moving 31 miles per hour at one point last night.
By the way, I'm on University now, headed toward 90. It's okay so far. That's from April, trying to help out the person wondering if 90 going the other way up to University was okay. And I think it is.
When we get back, we'll run down the text line.
Excellent. 830 FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, y'all.
So, another storm for us in the area last night, and lots of damage to homes and trees across roads, and you know there's some damage to vehicles out there. The body shop at McConnell Automotive, they'll fix you up.
That's right. You know, we have no power at the dealership right now, so we're kind of just wait to see if we get in there today. I've already been over there. No damage, nothing like that. We got great deals going on. Y'all check everything out on the internet. I'll try to call y'all back, Dalton, as soon as we hear we got power and let everybody know. And I hope everybody stayed safe and everybody gets their power turned on pretty quick.
Well said, Louie. But you mentioned it there. If someone is shopping for a vehicle, McConnellAutomotive.com, that's still up.
That's correct. McConnellAutomotive.com is still up. Like I said, I'll try to let y'all know once we get power and get going.
All right. Thanks, Louie. Stay safe out there.
Thank you, too.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive when they have power on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online all the time, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Looking at some of the damage now on the TV, and you can see the areas that are north of us are very heavily damaged. Not that there's not a big problem down in Dolphin Island, Bila Battery, and with the storm surge down there. Jeff Collier was on with us earlier this hour and said it was pretty awful, is the first thing he told me off the air.
Yeah, last night, Charlie Gray, we talked to him at around 11:15, and he was talking about that storm surge. He said the waves were actually cresting on Cadillac, on that avenue last night, that they had waves like...
You're kidding me.
On the island. He said white capping. So, major storm surge. And I also saw a video from Gulf Shores last night, and it looks like the surge actually made its way past the condos that are right there on the beach, and some parking lots were flooded from that storm surge, which was happening after the storm had moved through the area.
Yeah, so, it was very strange. It was the storm goes through. Well, Jeff said they kept getting the high winds down on Dolphin Island, and the storm was up in Clark County. And he was like looking at the radar, trying to figure, make sense of this. He said, "Why?" And it stopped. The no effects in Gulf Shores. I'm sorry, in Gulfport or Biloxi at that point, it had kind of receded away. And yet, Dolphin Island was just the tail end of that storm. Was right there.
Well, you said it earlier. This storm had like different personalities
in different areas of our listening area.
Exactly right. And you know, we got a text earlier from Al in Citronelle. He said at this point, actually, this was from last night. Al said, "It's terrible here. I have oaks down that I can see. I've been here 35 years plus, never seen it this bad before." He said last night, "Thanks for keeping us informed. But now that it's light out," Al made his way out onto his property and sent us some images from his property on Celeste Road. He says it's terrible, and you could see in the images he shot us that there are tons of trees down on Al's property. And that's the story for so many right now. David texting us, he says, "No power in Criolla, no gas stations open." Looking at some more texts here. Pilot, Flying J, Chevron, McDonald's, Waffle House, and Satsuma all have power and are running with gas. And I've got to give a quick shout-out. David Preston doing an amazing job keeping us informed this morning as he makes his way around the county. April, you know, we asked earlier what the traffic was looking like. We had a request. Someone asked on University from Highway 90 to USA, and April responded quickly. Thank you, April. She said, "I'm on University now, headed to 90, and it was okay so far, so it seems that University is passable." Unnamed texter, "We still have power here in Barnwell. More trees are down, but we are okay." Let's see here. David earlier said, "Fixing to head up 45 to McIntosh," and that's when he was heading to Satsuma.
Yeah, he's going to be kind of our eyes on the ground up there.
And not sure if this accident's been cleaned up yet. Happened about 30 minutes ago. We had a texter say, "Wreck at the Cannon," and that there were four cars involved. They did not stop at the intersection where the light was out. And at 5 a.m. this morning, I was already seeing people not treating the traffic lights the way you're supposed to when they're down. Actually, even there was traffic lights that were blinking for me. Normally, you know, green, yellow, red at this particular spot. I think it was University and Government, where University of 90, where I was traveling. But there were flashing reds. People blowing right through them. And that should tell you when it's flashing red that you got to stop there. But if there are no lights on and, you know, they're just out of power at certain intersections, you got to stop. It's a four-way stop at that point, and you could create problems for not only yourself but everyone else who's trying to get around this morning pretty easily if you don't obey those traffic rules.
You know, an indication of how sneaky that storm was, UMS Wright was still planning on being open today, or St. Paul's yeah. was at one point. Then they switched that out late last night or this morning. Also, Mobile County Public Schools at one point last night, they were undecided whether to open today or not. It looks like a foolish idea to open a school on a day like today with all the damage out there, but we just didn't know this was going to be the case.
Yeah, and we got a text earlier from Nick Matrenga. He wanted us to remind everyone that the License and Revenue Commission offices are closed today, and that's the story for so many here in Mobile County. Got a message from the Mobile County Commission's office, and they said with the trees and power lines down and power out, work crews working to make roads safe and passable. So they said today, county offices in Mobile Government Plaza, the Plaza Annex, and the courthouse will be closed, and then employees will report to work for their normal schedule beginning tomorrow, Friday. They said with today being the last day to apply for absentee ballots for the November 3rd election, the Mobile County Absentee Voting Office will be open today. They'll be open from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. That office for absentee voting, located at 151 Government Street. They said if you have questions about absentee voting, you can call the election manager's office at 251-574-6400. That's 251-574-6400. And you mentioned St. Paul's and Mobile County Public Schools. I could go down the list and name them individually, but pretty much every school in our area, Southwest Alabama, is closed today. And I know, I think, what was it, Mobile County Schools, they're planning on coming back on Friday. I believe Baldwin County Schools are as well. But the Archdiocese of Mobile Catholic Schools announced that their schools will be closed Thursday and Friday. So today and tomorrow due to the storm. Meanwhile, college students, they don't get off as easily as the high schoolers and junior hires and elementary students. They will be working remotely today on their classes. So
I would imagine there's some damage at the University of Mobile too, because that's a little north of town and on the way to Saraland and South Alabama too. Heavily wooded campus, as you know. It's probably pretty banged up right now.
Yeah, it's going to, across our area, it's going to take some time recovering from this. And a reminder, so far, from what I've seen, there have been two confirmed fatalities due to the storm. One was confirmed late last night in Louisiana. The first fatality, a 55-year-old man, was electrocuted from a low-hanging power line. And then heard that a man had drowned in Biloxi near the Broadwater Marina. And story coming out from the Sun-Herald, was actually a man from Theodore that drowned in Biloxi. Leslie Richardson, 58 years old, sister said that he had been watching the storm last night and sent his sister a video of the wind and the waves slamming onto the beach. After that, Richardson tried to get into his car and leave. The coroner there in Harrison County, Brian Switzer, said the deep water started to come around the vehicle, and Richardson realized he was in trouble and called 911. So a tragic couple of stories from last night. So far, I've not seen any fatalities for Alabama, but that news could change over the course of the morning. We obviously hope and pray that there are zero fatalities from that storm last night.
Yeah, but again, it was a storm at night. Nighttime storm doing that kind of damage when you lose your power. You can't see. You were saying even here last night you couldn't see your hand in front of your face when we lost power in this building.
Yeah, you know, that blue moon is supposed to come through on Saturday night, I think, on Halloween night. Would have been nice to have that blue moon last night for a little bit of visibility as the storm moved through the area, because it was dark, especially with all the power out.
Crazy, crazy night. Hope you all are okay. If you want to report to Alabama Power that your power is out, you can call 1-800-888-2726. That's 1-800-888-2726. Rob Holbert with Lanyap on the way.
851 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Checking in with Rob Holbert from Lanyap here in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do fantastic work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And I know so many of us will be picking up on our properties after the storm from last night. But I'm thinking when I walk around inside of my house, sometimes it looks like, you know, Zeta was actually inside some of the rooms in my home with so much of the junk that I have stored up in there. And
you're just a sloppy guy.
Sloppy and lazy. And because of that laziness,
I wasn't going to go there.
Sometimes I'd like to have somebody come out and help out a little bit. And that's what they do at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They come to you and they get that junk that you're trying to get rid of. Sometimes it's too much for you to handle, too much junk, or sometimes you just don't know where to take the junk. If it's junk, you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or it needs to be disposed of another way. You don't have to worry about that. Just call the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK and they will separate and take care of it for you. Even if you have some stuff that's donatable, they will take that out and donate it for you as well. And one of the best things about using Trey and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK is that you make your appointment and they show up right around that time. They're not like some of these other companies that give you a 6-hour window of when they may or may not show up. So today, if you'd like, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll be there when you expect them, and they'll take care of business. That's 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
FM Talk 106.5 at 8:53, and Rob Holbert with Lanyap is on the line right now. Rob, how'd you make out through the storm?
Well, we did okay. Still powerless here. I still have the power at my house, but the office has electricity, so I'll be staying there. As much time there as possible.
And you've spent a lot of time there over the years since you guys moved into that new office. So did you say your neighbor has power but you don't?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, we've got the next door neighbor has power, we don't, you know, it's the mysteries of the grid, as they say.
Sounds personal to me, like somebody has a problem with you.
Yeah, it may be. You never know. We got real lucky in Sally, and the power came on that day, you know, so we probably, you always have to pay it back.
Yeah, seriously. And speaking of Sally, the Lanyap coverage following Hurricane Sally was just outstanding. Some great in-depth stories about the damage in Baldwin County, and I expect the same following Hurricane Zeta from last night. I imagine you guys are out on the beat right now getting ready to write some new articles for next week's Lanyap. But,
We are. They're working on it. Everybody's sort of still assessing what's going on and what level of damage we had. I guess my sense is it wasn't as bad as Sally, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
There's some areas north of us, Rob, that were pretty bad. Citronelle, and they're not a pretty picture at all.
Well, yeah, that's what we've heard.
It's been a wild week, and it'll only get more wild with the elections coming up on November 3rd. It's just 5 days away now, I think, Tuesday. And on the cover of Lanyap this week, you've got a gravestone that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump are appearing from behind this gravestone. It says, "Scared. It's the spookiest time of the year as we look back at the yellow fever epidemic that plagued Mobile's early years and ahead to Tuesday's election." So taking it to the past and looking to the near future in this week's issue.
Well, it's the election issue, so we have a good rundown on all the election stuff, and even have some pretty fun stuff on the national election, talking to some people who are really invested in one versus the other. So that's a really interesting story. Ann Davis, who runs the Rad People Stadium, is also a collector of voodoo dolls, and so she explained some of her political voodoo dolls, and it's a pretty funny story. She's got some pretty funny stuff she does, but we also, since it's Halloween as well, we've got a really interesting look back at the
Let's see. Okay.
Ah,
back on.
Okay.
Well, that was strange.
Yeah. But Rob's gone.
Rob is gone. I don't know. That was kind of a magician's trick. I think he was trying to pull the wool over us and then get out of town. Yeah, just had a quick power spike here at the station that knocked us off the air, knocked Rob off the line. We'll see if we can get him on here for these last couple of minutes. But I know he was talking about the general election coming up, and they've got some great stuff here in the newest issue of Lanyap. And Dale's article, political junkies will be nervously watching Trump and Biden contest. But I haven't been able to ask Rob. We'll have to ask him maybe next week about this story that I'm going to read immediately after the morning show. You know, we were talking about the Bienville trees at Bienville Square that went down from Hurricane Sally.
Yes.
We'll have to see what kind of damage came from Zeta last
night. Kidding.
But listen to this. So the city has priced how much it will cost to remove the squirrels from Bienville. Because, you know, they threw the squirrels under the bus pretty much immediately because the trees went down from Sally. They said it was the squirrels doing their squirrely thing, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but made the trees weaker because of the squirrels. So they priced it out, the city, to remove the squirrels from Bienville Square. You want to play a game? How much do you think it would cost the city to have the squirrels removed from Bienville Square?
Well, if you give Sean his rifle, it wouldn't cost that much.
I don't think they took bids on this because the price is higher than I think a lot of good old boys would have charged.
$10,000?
Very close. $7,690.
Okay.
City is priced removing the squirrels from Bienville Square.
When you do government work, you always have to guess high. It's gonna cost more. Because you're bidding to do work for the city government, and you try to, whoever removes squirrels is going to take them to the back and get what they can.
I guess, you know, we aren't the city, but we could, if you want to let us know how much you would bid to be the squirrel remover at Bienville Square. I'm interested to see how much some of our listeners would charge to have that done.
That's funny.
We'll catch back up with Rob.
Open the bidding up, right?
Open the bidding right now. you can subscribe to Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Less than a cup of coffee a day and very well worth your investment. Also worth your investment sticking around for the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, it really is. Todd Stacy's going to be up this hour. This hour being the one that is about to start at 9 o'clock. Representative Mike Rogers, among other guests, on the Jeff Poor Show that begins in about 5 minutes on FM Talk 106.5.